thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Joining me on the podcast is a repeat performer, Coach Matt Rosati from Perry High School in Ohio. Coach, great to have you back again.
Keith, thanks so much. I really enjoy doing this.
Coach, the last time we talked in season and some adjustments to how you practice and game plan, et cetera, during the season. Today we're going to talk about recruiting your program K through 12, and I think that's an important thing, as especially in Northeast Ohio, we've seen the numbers challenge, as kids may not be either coming to us or staying with us. And I think what you're going to talk about here today is important to everybody, because we really want to increase our participation, but also increase our retention rate of kids coming through our program.
Well, Keith, it's a major issue, as you've addressed. And really, from a football coaching aspect of things, if you are starting a program, if you're becoming a head coach for the very first time, obviously getting the very best athletes within your school and within your school system is going to make you obviously a more successful opportunity to win. And the number one thing that I see throughout the years is seeing some kids within the school district that are extremely athletic, but they're not playing football. And that's that would always be a major, major concern to me. I want the very best athletes that we have in the school playing, and there's a way that you can get that done. And it doesn't matter if you're a first-year head coach or if you've been the head coach in the district for a long time. If you want to have success, you're going to need your best athletes. So I have a few tips that I think could really help, especially a coach just starting out, and really how we go about getting the best athletes to play football.
Coach, before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about our football development model, which we kind of launched the whole framework of that this past month or in February, talking about all the things we need to do to build better athletes and to help advance and grow our game. And you have some experience in that. You guys, in your area with other communities on the east side of Cleveland, you guys have implemented our modified tackle or our rookie tackle game. And I think you've seen the benefits of it. I also, in talking to you, understand that you've seen the challenges of getting people to understand that there are benefits to different game types and looking at things in a different progression as we teach the game.
Well, Keith, I think the biggest thing that people have to understand is that the game of football is under attack today. And I always like to say that there are perceptions and realities about the game of football. The perceptions are that football is dangerous, that obviously concussions are a number one factor, and it comes from football, so on and so forth. But the reality of the situation is that the game's safer than it's ever been before. And a lot of it is simply because we as coaches are now by law forced to become more educated about how we practice. And there's legislation throughout the states basically dictating who can coach and what they can do in practice, out of practice. And the game, like I said, is much safer than it's ever been before. But the one thing that I really want to try to emphasize is that the game of football being safer than it's ever been before, we have to understand that the governments of the 50 states in which we live are becoming more and more reactive to the perception, and the perceptions being that the game's not safe, and therefore there's legislation being passed on that topic, and it's going to directly affect us all. And if we don't face the reality that, hey, at a certain age, kids should not be in full contact. And here in our district, we're trying to address that issue, that we want to follow the USA football model. We want to try to make sure that our younger kids are playing flag football, and that a modified game should be offered and taken advantage of and utilized to try to keep kids safe and teach them the right way and get them up to the level where they can play tackle football. But there's a lot of pushback in many areas, but The one thing that I will say is that very soon, my prediction is that it's going to become federal law that there's going to be an age limit on when kids can play tackle football, and we can either be ahead of it or, you know what, it can be dictated to us. So that's my thoughts on that, and we here in Perry are trying to be proactive, and we're trying to make sure that you know, we do the best job we can of teaching our kids the safest way, and we're trying to follow the USA model.
And we appreciate that, Coach, and your support of it. And I know you guys are doing some great things with that and looking to continue to improve upon that and the different entry points for players along the way. But as a big part of this is our topic today. How do you go out and recruit for your programs, promote your programs, so that we are bringing those kids to us to experience the benefits of this game, both from the physical side as well as from the developmental side, the character side, et cetera?
Well, Keith, the biggest thing that I feel that any head coach should do is the number one thing. When our season ends, as soon as our season ends, I go to the guidance department and I will ask for every boy's name from grades 9 through 11. And I will sit down, I'll take two players from each class, two kids that I have a relationship that I can count on, and we go through every single boy's name that is in the school. And I simply ask those guys, hey, who are the best athletes that you know of that could help us, that have the physical ability to help us, that are not playing football? And I don't factor anything else in, just do they have the physical ability to help us? And we go through every single name and we try to pull out names that are not playing football that could help us. And from there, once we get, once we get this name bank, we try to, we try to go through and see why aren't they playing. And it becomes like a recruiting process. So in many respects, you know, we try to rank them. Hey, is he a 5-star kid? Is he a 4-star kid? How much could this person help us? And why isn't he playing? And once we find out the reasons, we try to recruit them. We try to get those kids. And, you know, hey, and maybe he's a soccer player or he's never, you know, he's never played football, whatever the case may be. We try to figure out exactly what the story is behind it, and we try to recruit our own kids in that way. I also go to the gym teachers, and I ask them, you know, who are your best kids, and who's not playing football, and I simply try to get the names, and then we begin the recruiting process. I think that it's a very, very valuable thing to do. And we've had a number of kids that have come out and helped us win a lot of football games that had never played football, even all the way up to their senior year. So it's all based upon if they could help us athletically, and then we start to unravel the issues of why they weren't playing and how much we want them. And then, like I said, we put a 5-star ranking on them, 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. And, we begin the recruiting process. Actually, the kids begin the recruiting process, and I become the finisher. So the biggest thing is that we want the kids to we basically try to persuade them to play, and they keep on working on it. And once they're really thinking about it, then I come in and try to close the deal. And we treat it like a college recruiting system for 9 through 12. But the one thing that we really try to emphasize, and we're really getting into this now, is the middle school kids, trying to really lock down the middle school kids in a unique way. We have a signing day, just very similar to, recruiting day at the college level. We'll have a college or a high school signing day for our eighth graders. So we pull out the table and we have a letter of intent, and we put it on Facebook, and on Twitter, and we make the announcement that so-and-so is signing from the middle school to the high school. And that's really helped with our numbers as well. It seems to be, anyway. We had a record number of kids sign up this year, and hopefully they're going to stay, but it's going to be our job to try to make sure that they stay. So for the middle school, once again, getting to the phys ed teachers about you know, who are the best athletes, and then talking to the kids to find out who are the best, and if they're playing, great. If they're not playing, you know, what can we do to get them to play? So those two things at the middle school and high school level are really, really important.
Before we continue on with this conversation, I want to tell you about our Coach's Notes product. This is something we put together working with some of the best coaches around the country from the high school and college level. And these coaches put together what we call a Coach's Note that follows our TIPS format. And TIPS is an acronym that stands for Teach, Install, and Problem Solve. In addition, we include all the coaches' raw cut-ups at the end for you to download and put into your huddle system to create your own teach tapes and study, and we call that section Further Review. This week, we have Jarrett Troxler, who is the offensive coordinator at Massillon, Washington. They're runner-up in 2018, and he talks about his installation of RPOs and really looks at it from the quarterback perspective, and I think you'll be very pleased with what he has to offer and the way he thinks about finding the time to work the quarterbacks and work all the different things in RPOs. Here's a preview of what's in his coach's note.
Everything that I do with quarterbacks, there's an objective. I want to be organized in how we teach things. So this is kind of how we progress to it. In the off season, we teach. We, again, utilize huddle as much as you can. Use installs, videos, whiteboard, teaching the schemes of what we're doing. This is your first read. This is what you do with the football, that kind of thing. Then you progress into the preseason and your camp days in the summer, and it's drops, footwork. And this is kind of the different type of drills that we do. And I'm going to show you examples of all these drills. But we progress from drops and footwork to drops, footwork, throw to receivers. We combine run tracks and throw in RPOs, run tracks and throws with receivers. And we try to do this during pre-practice, combined drills like the run tracks. And I'll show you this drill. What are most quarterbacks doing if they're not going in run tracks? They're just standing there, or they're snapping the ball. Why not set the quarterback over there and let him throw an RPO and steal a rep that way? This is our base RPO schemes. We have tag screens, which some people call them nail screens. I know back in the day when I was a head football coach at Lakeside down in Georgia, they called them key screens, and you got a lot of it from Noel Mazzoni. Tag screens, our quick game schemes off our run game, tag screen paired with some type of quick game or route backside, a full field RPO. Something that we started doing this year that I've fallen in love with, and I think you guys will really like it too, is our red zone vertical. That's an RPO scheme that was very, very effective for us this year. And then our pop pass series. Out of all of these, really the only post-snap RPO that's on this inventory is our pop pass series. We're more of a pre-snap RPO team than we are a post-snap.
Coach goes through his full install of RPOs as well as his RPO menu and all the drills that he uses, and he illustrates those in video. The great thing about Coach's Notes is it is the best of both worlds. It's like having a book and getting all that important information that you might be trying to write down as a coach talks during a presentation. You have all that text in front of you, and then when you need to see things on film, the coach illustrates it on film, and we include some diagrams as well. Check it out at usafootball.com. Go to development and training and click on coaches notes. Get a 7-day trial for free. Now let's get back into our conversation.
There's other places out there that have open enrollment. And so the signing day becomes a little bit controversial because it feels like you're stealing players from other communities, other programs. So I do want to point out that in Perry, Coach is specifically talking about kids who are actually already within the school system, but he's finding a way to celebrate those guys making the commitment to be a part of the football team in high school.
That's exactly correct. And from if I were a new coach coming into a district, obviously, you know, recruiting your own school, your own high school becomes, you know, step number one. If you're going to be a long term, if you're going to stay at this high school for a long time, you know, then getting down to the middle school and getting down to the elementary schools, recruiting your own kids so you're not losing them to other school districts that do have open enrollment or Catholic schools or private schools, whatever the case may be. recruiting and keeping your own kids is an extremely important process if you want to maintain consistency and win on a consistent basis. You have to have your own kids. You're going to have to recruit your own hallways. We do not have open enrollment, and we've been able to have some success. And really, they're all based upon the kids that go that live 15 minutes from the school. So it's been important for us to be able to compete at a high level to have the best of the best in this district come play football for us. At the elementary level, we try to use really public relations to be our biggest selling point. We're trying to recruit parents more so than kids. And the reason why I say that is because we'll send our guys down to do all kinds of different things. They'll go down and our football players will go down and run camps. They'll read to these kids. And, football is pretty important in our community. And most of these kids, the younger kids, know who some of our football players are. And our kids have the ability to build relationships with those younger kids. And that does a world a lot for the recruiting world. Simply having our kids around those younger kids makes those kids want to play football. And we try to nurture that. We always try to, make a major selling point of spending time with the young kids because a lot of it is public relations. This is my 12th year at Perry. It's coming up my 13th year, and every one of these kids know who I am. And that's important because, unfortunately in our world today, we might have, 5 soccer coaches or, a number of different coaches come and go, or people that aren't in the building. It's a very difficult, world today. And if a kid's going to choose between soccer and football and he knows my name and I know his name, there's probably a pretty good chance he's going to come and play football because of the relationship that I built with them early on. So, and like I said, recruiting the parents, making sure the parents know who you are, even at the younger ages, is really important. If there's a really good athlete at the, in the elementary school, I'm going to try to, send a letter or something out to him just acknowledging, hey, I've noticed your son, he's pretty athletic and we'd love to have him. And those types of relationships go an awful long way, especially with kids that, maybe have never even thought about coming out for football. So it's a good selling point, and it's really done a lot for our program. And like I said, we've been able to benefit because we've had some pretty good athletes come out and play for us.
Coach, I know you mentioned utilizing Facebook for your junior high, your middle school signing day. What other forms of social media do you guys use to help promote this concept?
Well, from a recruiting aspect of things, or getting kids to be more involved, usually it comes down to different ways to promote. We have from a school aspect of things, we have an overall Twitter sports. We have Twitter for football, but we are our athletic program also does a lot of things to promote what's going on with our football program and really with all of our other sports. But any way in which positive things that we're doing, we try to get out to the public to try to really help our numbers and help us with our image. And anything that we do, public relation wise, we want it out there and for parents to see, for kids to see. And it helps overall. It really does. It helps foster the relationships that we're trying to build, because if we have good relationships with these kids, even if they don't play football, we want to have good relationships with them, because you know what? Kids change. A kid that you didn't really pay much attention to when he was in, 6th, 7th grade, that kid can turn into being quite an athlete. And if you have a relationship with him, you know what, he may want to come out and play football when he's a sophomore and he's grown 6 inches and you never know. So we always try to maintain positive relationships with everybody. And it's worked out well. We usually get the kids that, they're not scared to come out If they're a junior and they've never played, they're not scared to say, oh, it's too late, we can't play now, or anything like that, or coach doesn't like me. We never have situations like that. So it's been very, very beneficial.
Coach, I think you'd agree with me, and I always used to think about this at the college level, that recruiting the kid to get to your program is a main part of it and an important part. But once he's there, you actually have to continue recruiting that kid. And it's not directly with, you know, these different messages we use to get them there, but it's about taking care of them and showing them the opportunities that they have by remaining in your program, maybe facing some of the adversity that they might have along the way to win a position, or to, you know, become better as an athlete, or to improve their leadership, etc. What kinds of things do you guys do to retain, continue to have that player in your program?
Well, the most important thing, Keith, is building the relationships, that you care about the kid in more than just football. Once we get them, you know, we like to, they're with us, and they're with us because they want to be. They want to be because they know that we're going to watch out over them. They have fun. We try to make it as fun as we possibly can for them. And, you know, the kids buy into it because they know that we actually care. And that's the most important aspect. That's why we keep these kids, is because, you know, they understand that we have their best interests in mind, and, the life lessons that we're trying to communicate to them, they understand. And, you know, they understand we're trying to emphasize these things for them to be better people. And they usually don't leave us. We very seldom, do we have kids, you know, play football 1 year and then say, oh, we're done with it, we didn't like it. Very seldom do we have kids leave our program.
Coach, do you use the alumni, the guys who have been through your program, who understand it, do you utilize them at all in this process?
Yes, definitely. That's, especially with the district in which we live in right now, alumni, they're huge. We have, we're, our school district right now is really based on community interest in football is unbelievable because of the tradition and the history of Perry football. It goes back, you know, almost 100 years. And so when people come back, they always come back to watch Perry football. And we try to utilize the guys that have played for me and the guys that have, you know, the fathers. We have, you know, we have kids that their fathers played, their grandfathers played, and we always try to emphasize that they're part of the history, they're part of the community, and, you know, they're the tradition, they're why we're successful. Building on that, including the alumni, is one of the most important things that a football program can do. And if you don't have a tradition, then build it. You know, find a way to get guys to come back that have played. But it's real important for our kids to understand their history and their tradition, and we really emphasize and utilize the alumni, and they love doing it. That's a key part of it as well.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time to share these ideas with us here on the podcast. I know everybody is always looking for ways to increase participation, and I think you offered us some very valuable ideas here today. How can our listeners connect with you if they have more questions on some of the things you do?
Keith, they can contact me in any way, by phone or my email at school. I'm also on Facebook under Matt Rosati. They'll be able to get to me. So any questions they have, I'd be happy to answer anytime. Perry High School, Perry, Ohio.
Thanks again, Coach, and good luck to you and the Pirates in 2019.
Thanks so much, Keith.
Check out our new Twitter at FBDEV Coach. We're doing some great stuff there every single day. We're adding to it as we go through the offseason here. We want it to be a great resource for coaches out there. Also, check out our systems at footballdevelopment.com if you are looking for some cutting-edge techniques. We put it together in our advanced tackling system as well as our contact system. I also highly recommend you checking out our system for building culture. And we partnered with Focus 3 and Brian Kite, and Brian's done a phenomenal job in helping organizations around the country, from corporate America to the education world to teams like Ohio State. If you read the book Above the Line, all of that book was about what Brian and his father Tim did to help out the Buckeyes. You could go get our system at usafootball.com/Focus 3.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.